avocado on toast for breakfast.
You're so healthy. Get out of town. Good girl. What did you have for breakfast, Leon?
I know. Orange and blueberries.
I think that's so disgusting.
You know what? I recommend people eat avocado. I think like...
The avocado is wicked.
But it feels tasteless to me. It's like...
Yeah.
You need salt and pepper on it.
Right. Yeah. You need to... All right, cool. That's what it's seasoning. Because I was just like... When I had it for the first time, I was like, I don't get it.
I used to hate it. Like, yeah, literally hate it. The one day I was like, oh no, this is the truth. And I put cayenne pepper on it as well. Because like that.
All right.
Okay.
But okay. Hi.
Hi, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm a Akua Jamfi, founder of the British Blacklist, and also a mother, a queen, an activist, a philanthropist, a carpenter, a scientist, and a hairdresser, and a producer, an editor, I think worldly wise woman, and inspiration to many, and inspiration to the whole global race, to be honest.
And a plagiarist.
Okay.
What else do you, don't you own a company, something like that?
I said the British Blacklist, didn't I?
How did you?
Which is a fantastic platform, the best you've ever seen. It celebrates Black creators all over the place and just doing everything brilliant because I'm brilliant. And also, I co-founded this thing that I'm doing now with this guy who's going to introduce himself.
Hi guys, I'm Leon Main. I am a writer and producer, also a philanthropist, the first philanthropist.
Copycat.
carpenter.
This carpenter thing, that's what's got me.
We'll get into it. Don't worry. You
vaccine conspirator.
For or against?
No, I'm for the vaccine. I just don't know whether it's come this quickly. I don't.
You're for it, right? You don't. And it's not. Okay, go on.
No, I mean, I'm for it being created. I just don't know whether it's that quick. I don't know. And
Marvin Gaye impersonator.
Marvin Gaye impersonator. Dancer.
Hey.
Sculptor.
Hey.
Taylor.
What did you make last week? What clothes have you made ever?
So during lockdown, I created a scarf.
All right,
this is a bleak piece of material, isn't it?
Seriously?
No, I know. I also run a production company called BWG Limited, and we're the greatest to ever do this. And also, I co-created The Circle with this woman to my left. We wanted to create it because of queer.
Why was it always me? Because we wanted to celebrate people even further. Black and brown people doing good things.
That
in the arts, in film and TV. And we're not allowed to do anything else because Leon thinks he's the boss. The patriarchy, he's one of it. You should have said you're an anti-woman.
Wow. Anyway, this will be edited out.
And we are joined because we do like to celebrate British, black, wonderful creatives.
Absolutely.
And we are joined by somebody today. Please introduce yourself and take note of the accolades that we have dropped.
Wow.
And if you can't match them, make them up like Leon does.
I don't think I can match either of you. Even the ones that were true. I am Jade Anuka. I am an actor, poet, writer, and amazing woman.
I mean, that's fair. You see the carpenter business, like this is what we kind of get into.
This is what I need to ask, yeah.
So like, basically, have you ever put something together from IKEA or any other places that sell and send flat pack things?
Yes, I have.
So there you go.
So I'm a carpenter.
You're a carpenter. Simple.
Exactly.
That's it.
Okay, I'll get down the CV then.
That's what I'm saying. Put it down. You never know. On set, you might need to be like, oh, we need another chippy. There you go. I'm a carpenter.
But I think, you know, for you to get to the next level, you have to do it without instructions.
I've done that many times.
Yeah?
I don't need the instructions, to be honest. I tear them up.
You know what I actually did the other day? I saw the piece of MDF.
What?
And I sealed it. You know, the bath, you know, on the side of a bath you got there? Whatever that's called. Yeah. And I sealed it, put it in, sealed it in, cut it down to size. What's that make me then?
You make sure you're a carpenter.
You're an elite carpenter. You're actually a carpenter.
Actually a carpenter.
Because you actually used a saw.
Yeah.
I saw a sword. It was crazy, yeah.
No. My estimation of you has gone up. You're actually an actual carpenter. I've been sitting next to this fraud for time and now I've met a real carpenter.
Cut down a tree before, but anyway.
But yeah, anyway, Jade, hi. Where's your surname from, Anuka?
Do you know what? It's actually made up.
What?
Really?
Yeah, well, it's officially my middle name.
Okay.
My dad made it up because That's my dad.
No. I want to know more.
Do you know what? Like, it's funny because, like, my dad's Jamaican and his surname, which is my real surname, is not the same surname as his mum, his dad, or his brother.
Okay.
So that surname sort of doesn't have any meaning. I think that was just the guy down the road who registered him.
Wow.
His surname. Do you know what I mean? So I've never been attached to it. And also it's Walker. Proper Caribbean surname.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not attached to that name. Yeah. I don't like being at the bottom of the register. So I thought, go with Anuka.
Anuka's cool. I was going to try and play some African heritage on it. I was thinking, what, is she Nigerian or something?
Yeah, a lot of people think, because it's similar to a lot of Nigerian names, but it actually isn't.
I mean, you look Caribbean if there's a look. So I was like, what's the mix-up? Where's the crossover or something like that? Okay, so how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
You're in Oslo, right?
I'm in Oslo.
Why are you in Oslo?
Why am I here? I'm filming a new Nordic HBO show.
Ooh, HBO.
And Nordic.
Everyone's eyes just lit up in the room as soon as they heard HBO.
No, but and also the word Nordic, that makes it absolutely stellar.
Yeah.
Upper class and well-written and well-made.
It's second season of the show and they brought some Brits in, but it's not shown in the UK. In fact, it's not shown anywhere out of any Nordic countries, so.
Oh.
What?
Nah, I had to like beg them to show me the first season to be like, what am I getting myself involved in?
So then why did you say yes to it?
Because she saw it.
Because sometimes but I saw it was good. And sometimes it's good to have shows that you just do, pocket, put it to the side, no one needs to watch it. It's all good. It's a job.
It's fair.
I'll find it.
Leon's going to find it because he's onto these things. Cause he likes to drop it into dinner parties and say, yes, I watched this Nordic show. And it's very, very, very stellar. So go on then. This starts the first proper question.
Oh, first proper question. So Jade, what was it that made you want to get into the industry?
Wow. Do you know what made me go, that's a good question, because I didn't start acting to get into an industry. I didn't even realize when I started acting that there was an industry for it. Like, okay. I just enjoyed performing when I was little. I got sent to a Saturday school, performing arts school, basically because I stopped doing athletics because I moved house. Mm-hmm. And I had too much energy. My mum wanted me out of the house, right? So this Saturday school started and that meant I was there for, I don't know, like 4 hours every weekend. So I went there and I enjoyed it and I just kept doing that. And then when I was because I enjoyed that, I started taking like drama for like GCSE. I then took drama for A level and my drama teacher went, do you know about National Youth Theatre? And I was like, no. Anyway, so the school got me a scholarship and I went to National Youth Theatre. Yeah. And then I went there and all of these people were at my age talking about doing acting as a job, like as a career. I didn't think I thought we were just having fun, like playing. And then I was like, oh, rah, I can actually do this as a job. So let me investigate this. Then I tried to do it. But yeah, I didn't get into acting for the industry. I got into acting for the play of it, as it were.
So where are you from? Where are you from?
Southeast London.
What's that? The Peckham?
It's like, so you see, you got all of London and then you got the really cool bit. Is that
me? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right, I see. I see. You've got like a West London and I don't even know where you live now. Oh.
Born and bred in North and then now reside in East, but I'm still North. I'm still feel North.
Yeah. I mean, I cut me and I guess I bleed a little bit of South, but I'm now a West Londoner.
Everyone's from South. It's just...
Everyone who's anyone is what you meant to say.
You hear it. The South breeds people, peoples. But so you're from South, Southeast. How much of an influence has your upbringing and your surroundings had on your, like on you? And I suppose if mum was like, get out of the house, you're too noisy, or whatever. Was your mum, did she even have an inkling that, oh, actually, she's got a little bit of talent there?
I think it was less that they were like, oh, she's got talent, and more like, oh, you're really into this, aren't you? And I put my mind to something and I do it. And I've always done that as a kid. And I think when I set my sights on doing this, they were sort of, they couldn't hold me back. And I think it was more that. But they were so supportive. Like, I would find some job where I have to travel to West London or something to do every weekend. And, you know, my mum was amazing. She would have come with me on the train and with my little baby sister as well. And they properly supported me, but they knew, like, I would do that. Like, if it meant doing all my homework and doing all the chores before 11 so I can go, I would do it. And they were like, oh, she's into this. So, yeah.
So you started off doing stage or did you start doing?
No, stage.
When did you get have that transition, I guess, from stage to screen?
Quite late, actually. I did a lot of stage, and obviously drama school, my drama school really only prepared me for stage. It didn't really have much TV training in, at all. Mm. And so after that, I signed up to the Actor Centre to do acting for camera sessions. Because I was like, I feel I got to for these auditions. I don't know what I'm doing. So I started doing like little bits, like Law and Order was my first TV job, which was great because we filmed it in Greenwich. So I was like, well, happy because obviously South East London. And then I just started doing little bits, like little scene here and there, Doctor Who, da da. But my first like reoccurring role was in Trauma, which was only not even that long ago. It was probably about maybe 5 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago. And that's quite late into it all. And that was my first time I was like in a role that kind of had a journey.
The thing is that looking at your CV of work, you've stayed working from stage to screen, you've stayed working, but it's like, I don't know you. Even I know of you, are you purposely out of the limelight or?
I do think like if you haven't done that much screen stuff, people don't know. I think like theatre, it depends on what you're watching. Do you know what I mean? And I've done a lot of theatre, and I think people that go and see a lot of theatre probably have seen me in something, and maybe they haven't known, but also I've done a lot of Shakespeare. So unless you're going out to see Shakespeare, you don't know.
That's fair. But do you stay under the radar? Do you like, I'd like to have an interview, please, thank you.
It's funny because I think, more recently I've started doing kind of interviews and press stuff, but that sort of feels to come hand in hand with TV. Or screen stuff anyway, or film. But with theatre, it's never really been something that I've thought of.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And not to put you on the spot in terms of like, what's better? I don't think there is one that is better, but do you feel like now that you're kind of into the screen space that you would do more screen, or do you don't mind going back to theatre?
I think I would love to do like a piece of theatre, a bit of theatre every year. I can't step away from it. I think there's something about it that's really addictive. And that was something that I really love, but theatre doesn't pay the rent. Like,
wow. Okay, first of all, what is it that makes that is so addictive? What is it?
It's something about, I think it's about the live aspect of thing, like, you could fail, like, you could flop, and there's nothing you can do. You're on stage, everyone's watching you. And I kind of like that. Like, it's the adrenaline of that. Like, it's just so different with TV and film. You can get another go.
Yeah, I hear you. It's adrenaline. I get that. Look at you, you failed on, you just flopped, it's your turn.
I literally asked the stage of the screen, you show him, look at you, green is for go.
No, but I literally just asked an extended part of your question, so then you should pick up from me.
Don't try it.
So, I feel also feel, because you said you've done lots of Shakespeare, and the roles you've taken on screen, they've not been race specific, not necessarily race stories or anything. Is that something that you've like, I'm not doing anything that's about anything to do with anything, or you've just been, I don't know if lucky is the word, you've just had a wider range of scripts come your way? Would you be in a top boy or a something?
I would love to be. Like, it's funny actually, because I feel something recently that I can't actually talk about. But I know I can't. Don't even ask me. But basically,
wait. Hold on, Jay.
Wait.
I'm not gonna look. Cause I'm gonna give it away.
No. I was gonna say, can you say it to us?
No.
It wouldn't be.
I know what you're trying to say.
Be recorded, so we edit it out.
I don't even know if I can say it to you.
Don't even get in trouble. Like,
no,
that.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Go on. You just done something. That's what. Hood. Yeah, gangster.
Basically, there was a lot of black people in the cast.
No. But there's no, because that's on the record. Fine. Go on.
You're talking about small acts, innit?
Yeah, that's not it.
I actually am in small acts.
I know.
A little bit. But that wasn't what I was talking about.
No, right, that's what I thought.
But it's I find it mad because it's been such a rarity for me. Apart from that film, and then maybe I did a show at the National, Moon on a Rainbow Shore, which was set in Trinidad. Apart from that, I've not done any shows where, I'm trying to think now, but like, this part was written for a black person, for example. Yeah. It's definitely not a decision that I've made, but I have relished like the roles where I have broken people's expectations. So like in the all-female Shakespeare trilogy, playing like things that are historically male roles, or like Queen Margaret, played Queen Margaret, obviously everyone's expecting her to be white gyal, and I rock up and I kind of like that as well, but it's not like I go out for that and say I don't want to be in a show with loads of black people, or I don't want to be in Top Boy. Like, I want to be in a show that's all about South London. Like, that, yeah, where's that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to be in a show that's like represents my world as well, but you got to take them jobs. And also sometimes the roles that I've seen that just aren't as good.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was going to say, you see this thing about Shakespeare and reimagining them and repurposing them, especially with an all black cast and all women cast, in our time of being in this space, sometimes it pisses me off, because sometimes I feel like it's a bit of a, we need to do Shakespeare to validate how brilliant we are, because Shakespeare is the top writer and theatre, you know, icon of theatre. And I sometimes feel like I don't want to see a all black this and all black that to prove that we're good, because we can do our own plays. But that's just me having a bee in my bonnet.
No, I hear you. And I like, it's interesting because I think the year before we did our Julius Caesar was the all black Julius Caesar at the RSC.
And yeah.
I have problems with that.
Okay.
And I think especially at an institution like the RSC, like, okay, we'll allow these black people to do these roles as long as everyone is black and it's in a black world. And oh gosh, imagine a world like this.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But I do think what we did with the all female version was actually very different. And actually we didn't just say, oh, imagine a world where there were just women and no men. We went further than that, and we set, I mean, it was quite extreme. It was set in an all-female prison, and it was inmates putting on a play. And it's like, okay, that could happen now. And there was a real point about going, okay, these are the words and the plays that are lauded and like put up so high, like, oh, Shakespeare, it's the most amazing thing, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, let's put it in the mouths of the people that are the most unheard of, unlistened to.
Yeah.
Let's put it in the mouth of female inmates, like, most of whom shouldn't even actually really be in prison. Let's put it into their mouths and then go and then suck on that. And do you know what? When we first did it, the paper slated us.
Did they?
The show was slated. Everyone was saying, because we have makeup on and we're all in like grey trackies. They were like, look at you, like they didn't get, like, women. I thought we were coming to see a woman do Shakespeare. I don't know what this is. It was
in weaves and heels.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they expected. And we didn't give them that. But then, all power to the director and the producers, they went, do you know what? Let's do two more. Same thing.
Yeah.
And by the time we did the third one, all them same papers were like, oh, 5 stars, amazing, amazing. It's like, oh man, you've just outed yourselves, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned the one you can mention, you were in Small Axe, which is doing really well over here. We love the first two episodes. We're insane. Have you seen the first two episodes?
Yeah. I have my ways.
And you're going to be in an episode called Education. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
You know what? I heard that Steve was doing these shows time ago. I heard. Yeah. And I was like, I was obviously straight onto my agent, like, okay, I have to, like, it's not even about giving me a part. Just let me be seen for a part.
Yeah.
Like, let me be seen for, I have to, like, come on. This can't pass me by. Anyway, suddenly I'm seeing people, I'm filming for the first one because they weren't filmed in the order that it's on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I haven't even had any, there's been no sniff, no thing. Luckily, somehow this audition pops up. Go in, and it's not a big part, but Steve's there. And I first of all had to tape, send it in, and then went in, met Steve and Gary Davey, who cast it, and did my thing. And then they said, you got the thing.
What was your conversation like with Steve? Your first conversation like with me?
He was asking like about my heritage, my background, and
okay.
I was, you know, I'm Jamaican and Trinidadian. My background, and we were talking about that. I'm talking about how I was saying, like, when I read the script, you know, what I read, I was saying that just how much feels very recognizable.
Yeah.
And even in my lifetime,
yeah,
let alone when it was set, like, these things are so important. And that episode, man, I mean, they all have their own hard hitting things, but that episode, I was like, wow, we haven't moved on enough.
So I was going to say, I've seen Education. I was trying to quickly remind myself of the actress.
But do I make the cut?
Not even out yet.
I can't actually remember. I'm not going to tell you. Because you see, it's quid pro quo. You tell me your secrets, I'll tell you mine.
Because the truth is, that scene, I mean, I don't know how Steve works. So some directors, like never overshoot. So they everything they shoot is in. And some directors overshoot, right? My section is very succinct. It could easily be in or out. So who knows?
Do you know what?
I was still there and I worked with him. So that's the thing.
I mean, I'd wear that forever. I'd dine on that forever. But what was it like? Because, and you said it was recognizable because, and it is very timely. And it's actually a shame that we still get these things that happen because basically education explores just the bad treatment of black children in schools. What was it like actually being a part of something that's so historical and monumental to British black history and the fact that it's documented through the arts, which is something that hasn't been done on screen arts, I should say.
Yeah, it felt so important. Yeah. And I honestly felt an immense amount of like pride and a privilege to be part of it. Like, it felt very much like, oh, it wasn't just, oh, I've got a gig. This is a good gig to have got.
Yeah.
It felt like, oh my gosh, I get to be part of this. And watching those first two episodes as well, I'm like, how cool that I've got a little bit in this, which I think will go down in history, definitely.
Dark section now.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
What is the worst no you've ever had?
The worst. I can think of so many bad. Let me, the worst no. Gosh, I don't know what's worse, but there's some bad ones have been like, I don't feel it. You put your heart out there on the floor and I don't feel it. And also maybe, yeah, you just feel like you're doing too much. That always hurts.
Is that a theatre or audition?
No. Do you know what? In an audition, I've been quite lucky, actually, in that all the bad things are said after I leave the room.
Oh, okay. do you feel like when an audition is going bad, what do you do when you feel like an audition is going bad?
Just get it done, get out of there.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Because on TV, because that's real, they show that the, okay, can I just do it again? Just give me one more chance. There's always the character always is begging for that extra chance and does it again and just continues to flop.
It depends on like, if I think I've done a bad job, but I can do it better and I do want to work with them, then yeah, I'll be like, can I please just try it again? Or I might say like, yeah, I just want to try it again in a different way.
Okay.
But most of the time when an audition's gone bad, it's because there's some disconnect between myself and the director or whoever's on the other side. And then I'm like, well, especially if it's a director, then it's like, well, do I want to work with this person? Like, we should always remember that if you get this job, you're gonna have to work with them. So in that room, there's gotta be something about them that you feel like you can work with as well. And I think that's something I've learned later on. It's not just like, I need the job.
Yeah, no, because I was gonna say, that's something I've never even heard of, actually. I never thought about in an audition, you could have autonomy. Is autonomy the word to be like, yeah, you're a dodgy director, mate. I don't want to work with you. So,
I wouldn't say it in the room.
But no, I know.
Yeah, but I would definitely call my agent after and be like, by the way, I don't know about that one.
Okay, that's interesting. I never knew that the director's presence could be felt like that in an audition in that way, to even give an inkling of that this could go totally shitty wrong if I get this.
Yeah, I think it's harder sometimes. Well, in theatre, you always meet the director and they tend to like direct you as well in the room.
Okay.
The theatre auditions. With TV and also now that everything's on tape, you sometimes don't even get to meet the director.
Sure.
Or like it's just a casting director. So it is difficult because the casting director isn't going to be there when you're working. But I think if you do get, I always feel it's a privilege when I get to audition with the director. So like I was very surprised that Steve was there. I didn't think he would be there for a small role. And I relished that because then I could talk to him. I could find out, just get a little idea, get a gut feeling about the director and he could direct me and I could, okay, this is what it might be like a little bit on set.
Okay, we'll flip it. What's the most rewarding yes?
The most rewarding yes. Do you know, the one that I always think about is Moon on a Rainbow Shore. And the reason is at that point, I was very, very much a jobbing actor, hardly working, doing bare other jobs to pay the rent. And I would go onto every theatre's website as soon as the show was announced and then call my agent. Mm-hmm. I was that annoying one. Be like, if it was right for me. And I saw the day that the National announced that show, I saw the name, I saw the picture and was like, that looks like Caribbean. Like.
Mm.
Went online, ordered the play, read the play the next day and was like, right, it's set in Trinidad and there's a part that I definitely could play.
Mm.
And then after that, it was all about, I went to I went to him, obviously my agent, I said, you have to get me in the room. I wrote a letter to Michael Buffon, who was directing it. I wrote a letter to Wendy Spahn, who was head of casting. Wow. I wrote their letters, all basically saying, I am Trinidadian. I need to be in this play. Like, if you just give me an audition, I'll prove to you. Like, literally. And I was like, it's not about getting a job, it's about giving me a chance. Because I read that piece and was like, I can play that role. I knew I could. Yeah. And I put all that work in, and then I got the audition. And then when I got it, it felt so sweet. And also just felt really special because my family aren't in this business. But like when I told them I was doing this play set in Trinidad, like, oh, they were so happy. They were so happy. And like when the extended fam come out, the extended fam came out to watch this one. Yeah, it was special.
Hold on. So can you just clarify what year? Because you're saying writing letters like it was in 1841.
I don't know why I'm even saying letters. You know what? The craziness of it is that I may have posted it because I might not have had their direct email. Fair. But if you put their name on it, it's going to them, isn't it? But now, what year was that? 2012 it was.
Yeah, because I remember it must have been in the early days of British Blacklist. I remember the play being about, but maybe us not being big enough to get press. So. Been on a long journey.
Yeah, then.
I just asked.
Green is for go.
No.
I asked an extended question. All right. So you also started in a cleaning up, right?
Yeah.
That series did pretty well, and your character was Jess. So Jess was struggling to make ends meet, and she was a cleaner. How did you see the beauty in that character, and not maybe have any reservations about being a black actress playing a struggling black cleaner?
First of all, the character wasn't black, as in
okay,
it wasn't a black, so it was never written as black character, which I actually thought was a good thing, is that they didn't write it going, oh well, we better put a black character,
yeah
struggling. But also I was like, she is what is how did I find a beauty? Who the hell knows? It was a good job to do. Do you know what though? I'm going to be honest with you. When I took that job, nowhere in my heart, mind, soul, anywhere was I thinking, oh, struggling black woman.
Okay.
That didn't come into my thing because all I was thinking of is, right now I'm a struggling black woman if I take this job. But then when you do, when you're into it, then actually I was like, there's more to it actually. And she's the good one. She's one with the pure heart and the kind soul. And actually, unfortunately, that is taken advantage of. But like, I thought she was so kind of person that I think people should want to be like.
Yeah.
Even though that might people might take advantage of that, I still feel like you should be that kind of person, and the kind of person that wants to do things right and wants to do it the right way.
So there was the beauty.
There's the beauty.
I am sorry to say that I never watched Cleaning Up.
You can watch it on BritBox now.
Yeah.
Controversial BritBox. Has anyone signed up to BritBox?
No, I got a free thing for it. For like,
have you? I think
it was with EE.
Okay.
Yeah, you get it free, so you're with EE.
Might be on ITV Hub as well, right? No?
Oh, it might be, because it went back on TV recently.
Yeah.
You got another season?
I was going to say, is there another season of it?
No.
I've been trying
to like pretend like maybe it's not happening.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter, you're still booked. You're booked and paid because I know you've got Sean, you've got Zebra Girl, you've got the Dark Channel in production. How do you balance that?
Because it looks like they're all coming out in like tomorrow, like everything's coming out.
I don't know what's got, because yeah, well, it's quite different. So Sean hasn't been filmed, so it's all about trying to find dates and stuff. But okay. The other two have been, they're filmed. One of them's completed, the other one, I don't know if that's completed yet, but they're still so they're done. So I'm waiting for that. It's hard, isn't it, with cinema now, especially with independence. Mm. Like, when is the right time to come out? And even now, like, even the big stuff are trying to wait until cinemas are back. So I don't know when they're going to come out. But yeah, keep being busy.
Would you prefer cinema over, like, maybe like a streaming service?
It depends on the show, isn't it? Like, if you're doing some big multi-million, like, big blockbuster show, then sometimes you want to see them big. But actually, if you're doing an indie show, I'm like, that's about like the heart of it and the relationships. Then I kind of feel like I'm fine with watching that on my sofa.
Mm. Yeah. Fair. So is being on TV now a bigger deal than film? And because you've done a few films like, what was it, Fisherman's Friend with Noel Clarke, and Last Christmas with some fancy people. Amelia Clark, from Game of Thrones. Exactly know who that is, exactly to the point. So do you care about film? Are you trying to be a film star, or is high-end TV good enough for you and your Nordic self?
Do you know what? When I was at drama school, I was thinking, what would be like the dream? I remember being like, I want to be in a three-part BBC drama. Like,
oh wow.
That was what I wanted to do. Like, I never really was like, but then on the other hand, I always wanted to be a superhero. Like, I wanted to be like female Spider-Man.
I can see it.
Spider-Woman. But it depends. I think for like, I would say there's three reasons. There's three reasons why you do a job, right? Or don't do a job. One is money.
Mm-hmm.
One is the creativity of it. How much that pulls your heart or creativity juices. And the third one is career development.
Okay.
How it might push your career, your status further. For example, I always think you need two to do a job. And if you haven't got two, turn that job down.
Okay.
But like, so like, I'd love to do big films. Like, films are cool because they give you money and their career development. And especially like a big blockbuster. I don't know how creative it might be. I don't know. But I love the TV because I love the kind of drama of it. I love that, the more intensity of it as well. And these days, TV are paying all right because of all the streaming platforms.
Yeah, for real. I was going to say, you see, West End and Off West End. It doesn't sound the same as Broadway and Off Broadway, just anyway. But Off West End and West End, what do you prefer?
Well, the thing is, I've done like one West End show.
Oh, is that it?
Okay. Yeah, I've just done one, which is Dr. Faustus. And this is the thing, like, if you're in a musical, if you're a musical theatre, there's Ben at West End, and you can, and they get paid. If you're not in West End, it's not enough, really. Like, it's good, like, fine, don't sniff at it, but it's not where you can't save. Do you know what I mean? It's not that.
Yeah.
So I can't really compare on any level because I've only done one, and most of my stuff has been off West End or Fringe or out of London.
Okay, fair enough.
It's an interesting one. You said you write as well, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, you have an infinite budget. You've got a first look deal with every channel on earth, every film company on earth. If you could make any project, what would you make and who would you cast in it?
Jeez.
Yeah.
I'd definitely make something that I've written and probably something that I've co-written with someone that knows how to write screen stuff. But maybe like a story that I've got. I don't know where I would do it because I don't know who's listening and I want to work for you all. Do you know what I mean? Like, how am I about to do that? I'm not going to do that. And who would I cast in it? I mean, there are so many amazing actors. I don't even know how, I actually don't get the casting process. I don't get how people do it. I don't understand it in any way, because if I was casting, I would cast my friends, people that I know, people that I've worked with, and so I know firsthand how to work with, or do you know what I mean? So they'd probably just be all the people that I've worked with that I've liked.
That's very diplomatic.
That's a politically correct answer. Fantastic media training.
Because she's big. She's in an HBO Nordic.
Oh, God.
Well, there's like, but you know, lockdown, crappy. You had a play that was supposed to go on at the Kiln Theatre. And it got postponed. So what's happening with that? What happened with that? Is that the one that I posted about? Because my brain's disconnected.
Yeah, maybe. So this is the one-woman play that I wrote myself. Yeah, and the Kiln. I did it at the Vault Festival last year.
Okay.
And then it got picked up by... Well, I invited Kate Pakenham to look at it and stuff. And
she's Kate Pakenham for the people?
For the people then. Kate Pakenham used to... Basically, she was... producer at the Donmar when I was doing the Shakespeare, so I ended up knowing her for about 6 years doing that, and she had just gone freelance, so I was like, well, here's an idea, here's a project, you help me out with this. She went to a few places, but Indu at the Kiln really liked it, and yeah, we were supposed to do it this summer, it was all going to plan, but then shit hit the fan, and I don't know. Like, I want to do it. I want it to happen. But it's hard because it's my first play. I've never had a full play on. It's a one woman play, and the theatre world is crazy unstable and no one knows what's going on. So I just feel like I want it to happen, but I want it to happen when people are going to come and see it. You know, if people aren't coming, then what's the point?
So you're not into this new digital stage reimagining, reworking, because a lot of people are doing, a lot of places are adapting their plays for digital consumption.
I feel like if the play was written, and it's called Heart, right? It's about connection of hearts. And it was so written to be in a room full of people. And I sort of feel like you want to be close to people as well, not even socially distanced. I want people to be feeling that, feeling the heartbeat of the next person. And I do feel like there is a life on screen for it. But in my mind, it should be its live entity first. And then it could maybe be adapted for different mediums.
All right, a question that we won't get a politically correct answer to. If there is is there a project, you know, in your whole lifetime that you wish, I wish I was in there?
So many.
Good, all right, fine. Finally.
Oh my gosh, so many projects.
Name five.
Boy. Okay, I'm trying not to just say all the things I went out for that I didn't get. But things like I didn't even get an audition for. I didn't get an audition for Top Boy. And I get it. Like, there's a lot of boys in there. There's not that many females. It is called Top Boy, so whatever, allow them. But no, not even a looking, not even a hiding. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know, things when I was growing up, like Youngers, which was all set in London. Like, it was set in South London, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like it was.
London. Yes.
And
I'm pretending I really know,
let's just say. Anyway, I was like, what? Why? Nothing. All of these shows that you were like, did you deliberately not do? Yeah. No, I didn't. Where was my call? Where was my audition? And then you've got, there's so many things. I can't even think. Also, there's big films as well. Like, whenever I see a Brit abroad as well. Okay, come on, Black Panther. Where was my call?
Yeah, to be fair, even I want to be in that. Yeah. I could have literally been one of the Warriors. I mean, I had short hair, shorter hair.
I knew you were going to
say. But I mean, obviously.
Yeah, me too. Look,
that's what I'm saying. Requirement. We're not scared to shave our hair.
Oh, we're not scared about that.
I'll be in Dora Milaje anytime.
Got to do a lot of training, though.
Do you know what as well? Do you know what is annoying?
Yeah.
No, I hope he just means that fighting training.
Because women can't train.
No, I was saying.
He's about to say women can't fight. No, he was just about to say. Oh, he was about to say. That women can't fight or train.
Wow.
That's what you were about to say.
The inception is crazy.
What were you going to say, Jane?
No, but this is the thing. You wouldn't believe how much combat training I've done. Oh. I did so much advanced training in quarterstaff, rapier and dagger, unarmed, all of these things. I had the training right there. Why are you?
But then hold on. So wait, hold on. So in that, did you hear about when it was filming and,
I remember hearing rumors, but I don't know exactly if that was filming already or but I remember it being this thing is happening, and I remember being hey,
yeah,
going on. Yeah, that is, and they're supposed to be doing two, but yet still, lines are dead.
But then
I did hear about.
Can we talk to your agent? What's agent doing?
I don't know what's happening, but then I was okay, everyone just blames COVID in it, everything's postponed, so we'll see.
Okay. Oh, me again, okay.
Yeah, go on.
What are you watching right now?
I'm watching Small Axe. I just finished watching Rap Game UK. Did you watch the final?
No. Yeah, I watched it yesterday, yeah. Do you want to know who won?
I don't think I have watched any part of the...
Oh, okay. he was
a worthy winner.
Worthy winner, but I don't think that was the right top three.
You don't think so?
I think Zones, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't feeling who was else in the top three?
Nisha.
You don't think? I feel like she improved, even though
she improved. But there were other, and it was annoying because there were other guys there who were so talented, but they clearly, and I think it was a deliberate thing. They were let me not put you in the top three because you're so talented, but you think you're so good that you don't even try that hard. Can't even remember your lines.
Yeah, Droid. Is it Droid?
Droid. Yeah. He was so good.
He's super talented, man.
Yes. I agree.
But yeah, Rap Game UK is a good one. Anything else?
Call my agent.
I was just telling
you. Oh my gosh.
I love that show. I was literally just speaking to a producer friend of mine about it. Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
It's one of my favorite shows, yeah. What season are you on?
Just started 3.
Okay, cool.
Just had Juliette Binoche. in.
Okay. One more season coming.
So done. I'm just going to talk to Tyson.
You don't watch TV, clearly.
I do watch stuff. I'm just very super busy.
You've seen Smallax, so that's good.
Exactly. I've seen all five as well.
Well done.
And obviously, I'm watching His Dark Materials.
Oh my God, hold on. Sorry. Yes, I had a question and I didn't finish writing it about His Dark Materials. You're in His Dark Materials. Tell us about your character.
Wow. Yeah, I'm in His Dark Materials, the second season.
Yeah,
I play a queen witch, Rita Skadi.
I watched the first season. I haven't got into the second one just yet. What's it like being part of like a big old franchisee type BBC massive thing when they got money off?
Yeah, it's different. The sets, like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's actually amazing what they do, like, because obviously it's fantasy, so something like I've not done before in that way. Mm. And basically everything was in a studio. Well, 90% of the stuff was in a studio in Wales. And they will build whole worlds. They build a whole town. They built a whole town.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And it's like incredible. And we went on this little tour around it. And the detail, like everything works. You'd believe it was a town, but they wanted, because there are specific like elements of it, the fact that it's not in our world. So they needed to make it different. But yeah, it is it's different dollars. Like, it is.
Tell a little bit about your character. Like, what's happening for your character in this season?
Yeah, so my character is the queen of the clan of witches called Lake Lubana. The witches have these lakes, and each, there's like a queen of each lake, as it were. And Serafina Pekala, who you meet in the first season, is the witch queen of another lake. And basically at the beginning of this, she's holding a council for the witches, and my character flies in and says, whoa, there's a witch being tortured over there by the magisterium, which is basically like awful. It is basically just a load of white guys who
want all
the power. Yeah, government. And they're like, they're trying to get a secret out of a witch. And so I'm like, I'm going to go in there and sort it. Who's with me? And they're like, we don't normally get involved in human matters. Mm-hmm. We're witches. And she's like, nah. So she goes off and does the thing. Nice. Does the thing herself. So she's a very much a doer. She doesn't like to just sit around and talk about stuff. She wants to get things done.
There's something about black folks in period dramas all of a sudden that I like and I dislike. Sometimes it's like the authenticity, great. This is great. We need representation and visibility. It's fine. And though this is fantasy, whatever, whatever. But it's when I watched the first season, I was a bit like, okay, but you spent a long time saying we didn't exist and now all of a sudden we're here. So it's a bit like reprogramming the mind. Did it ever feel a bit surreal seeing people of colour in this kind of period fantasy drama?
Well, I think because like basically all that first season is kind of in one world, and it is in which is basically like hair, but old.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this time, we go through different, literally different worlds. The argument doesn't, this isn't the world we know. There are witches who fly. There are other things. Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, true.
And I kind of think that as soon as you go into fantasy, then all of that stuff, I'm like,
don't matter.
All right, so final question before we go to a game that I'm apologizing to you for in advance.
Okay, we'll discuss it in a minute.
All right, so there is an image of you. Don't worry, it's in black and white, and you're looking pensive, and there is a quote that comes with it, and that quote represents you. Like, what is your mantra? What is your knowledge for the gram, as a queer calls it?
You came up with that line.
I did not come with
Drop that. Some knowledge for the gram. That's the title.
Oh, the way she says it, you know it's her.
It was not. I don't speak like that.
Well, something that I always say and I try to live by is PMA, positive mental attitude.
Oh, I see.
And it's more of an aim to try and go into things positively, and then whatever the outcome is, you haven't gone in there with the wrong mind set.
Sure.
That's fine. No, Leon should do that a lot more.
What's that?
Oh.
No, I'm tired.
Especially when it comes to this game that I'm about to
there you go.
Masses. positive mental attitude. I came up with this game, Jade. It's the best freaking game you're ever going to play in your whole entire life.
I'm positive.
I'm excited.
No, be excited. Okay, so it's so exclusive. It hasn't got a title that's proper just yet. It's called Name This TV Show Movie Game Show. Okay. Read the rules.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so we're going to obviously give you a film or TV show, and we're going to give you clues behind them. So
what's the theme of this one? Oh, I forgot what it was. The theme of these films or TV shows are based because of you being in cleaning show things. It's based on shows that feature hired help or cleaning is the theme.
Oh, for crying out loud. Okay.
It's really easy.
Right. So you're going to get clues for each one. You get four clues each and a call a friend, which will be me.
Traitor. Go on.
So the first clue would be a word that's in the title.
One word.
Could be one word or two more. Words. Sometimes it's syllables if it's only one word in the title. But I think you'll be okay this time.
Maybe.
clue two will be how many words are in the actual title.
Okay.
Clue three will be a word that describes the project. And clue four will be something that describes the character in the project.
It's really easy.
It's not easy.
I don't know. I'm bad at games. My like memory recall is horrible.
Fine. Well, you've got to call a friend, but you know you have to attempt at least a couple tries anyway.
Okay.
First one. Let's go. It's really exciting. the first word we're going to give you is maids. Maids.
Maids is in the title of the project.
Yeah, that's one word from the title of the project. Maids.
Maids, plural.
Yes. Yeah. Maids. Plural.
I can think of bear with just singular maid in the title, but
no.
I need another clue, please.
Okay.
There are two words in the title. There are two words in the title.
Oh.
No, do you know what? I love Jay's face drop. Her face is like, what? Is that the clue? Okay.
Yeah, I know. Drop. Is it the maids?
No.
No.
No, but there's a play called The Maid, so I thought there might be a film version.
No. I'm not even going to lie to you here. I don't know this project.
Well, that's where you're...
So when you call...
And it's a film or a TV show?
It's a TV show. We can give you that.
Okay.
Yes, it is. My daughter loved it. I thought it was quite silly.
I have absolutely no idea.
Do you want the third clue?
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on. I just moved away from the thing because I was going to tell Leon what it is. Okay, so the third clue is shenanigans. Now, this is the vibe of the show. Shenanigans. That's shenanigans. I just like saying it. Shenanigans.
Is it the show with lots of people with loads of hair?
Couldn't actually tell you that, and I don't think you've got it right.
shenanigans.
I've never heard of this one.
Yes.
Do you know what? Can I phone a friend? Oh, wait. Do I only get once to phone a friend?
And you need to.
You can call your friend as many times. I'm just letting you know this time when you do call your friends, it might go to voicemail because I have no idea what this project is. But I'll see if I can give you a clue.
Go on. Yes, please.
It's.
Oh, wow.
Latina?
As in J-Lo's in it?
She's not actually, but... she's not, but people of her ilk are in this series. Her heritage, she shares the heritage of majority of the cast of this.
I don't think I know that this show exists.
Okay, let's give you the fourth clue and see if you can get it. And if you can't, well, I... a Hispanic woman goes into... Sorry. A Hispanic woman gets into nonsense with all her colleagues.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, that is the clue.
This is the clue.
Nonsense with all of her colleagues. Maids. Can you make something up? Okay.
Okay, let me just tell you. Devious maids.
No, I don't know what that is.
You never heard? I can't. Tyson in the back? Have you? No?
No one.
It was very popular.
In a 50-mile radius knows this show.
Okay, clue two. Let's get on to clue. We're running out of time, I guess. It's like number two. This is a great game, though, isn't it, Jade?
It's a really fun game.
Thanks.
PMA. PMA.
PMA. The word from this title is in.
Cool. Cool. Wait, it's all about, wait, you said it's all about, what was the theme of all of them? About like hide help or whatever.
Yeah, hide help or clean.
You know this answer. It's easy. Super easy.
It's easy-ish. You've even given...
If I'm... Okay, that's enough. She hasn't called you yet. Chill out. The word that we're giving you is in. Would you like your second clue?
Yes, please.
There are three words in the title. Three words in the title.
Yes.
Made in Manhattan.
Yes.
I'm clapping because the spirits have taken me and I'm really...
PMA. PMA.
Right. Okay, number three.
I'm on this.
I literally haven't seen this either.
Nobody has.
Okay. Word that we're going to give you is the.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, the help. No, you haven't seen it.
What do you say?
Just move on. Oh.
Now, what was your reasoning for saying no when you said the help?
Because I think one of you said you hadn't seen it and that would be crazy.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you're annoying me. What? Second clue, please.
Oh, did you ask for the second clue? Sorry.
Yes, please.
There are three words in the title.
This is really... Come on, you can get this.
So three words. One of them is the.
Yes.
Listen, you can get this. You don't even know what it is.
No, I need another clue, please.
Clue three is... This is about the project?
This is... Yeah, theme of the project is scars.
Scars.
Scars?
Yes. Mm.
Scars?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think...
Next one.
The final clue is a woman decides to make everyone feel her pain.
That's bare Hollywood films, man.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Can I phone a friend, please?
I mean, you're not supposed to phone after the last clue, but you can. Because
you're not.
It's fine. Go and call him and see what he's going to say.
I mean... It's got... So, you know, you've done a project about this type of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's got that one. It's got a word in the title that's in that family.
I mean, you could just Google. What? It's that.
No, but I mean the project that...
I know, but...
Nobody has seen this. I don't even know what this is.
It's a
horror film.
Oh, I don't look at horror.
Okay, it's over now. The Cleaning Lady. It's a horror. Look it
up. That's not a show.
I said film and TV.
I don't know that one.
I've never heard of this in my life.
I mean,
to be fair, I got the one that I know exists. Yes. So I'm happy.
Okay.
You'll get the next two and...
Oh gosh, I've lost it. Where's it
don't
gone?
Don't worry, I know what that one is.
Yeah, but what? It was a syllable
though.
Yeah,
it was a syllable.
Okay.
So this one, it's for some reason it's syllable and not word.
Because
it's a syllable in the title. Hopefully you'll be able.
Because it's only one word.
No, it's two words. But I understand why she would have given it a syllable.
So you're just going to give away clues now. You've just given the second clue first.
Sorry, my bad. All right. So the syllable clue is fire. Think about it.
The syllable. Oh wait, whoa. The syllable. So yeah. Fire is in a word.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is hard. You know,
it's really not. It's really simple. Best game ever. PMA.
Can I have another clue, please?
Well, you've already had. Go on.
Well, I've had.
There are two words in the title,
and it's fire.
But fire is only part of one word.
Fire
yes.
Is part of a word. Fire.
Fire.
Sam fire. What words have fire in it? Fire.
I mean, is it a word or is it a name? I don't know. It might not be a word. I don't think that's a word, is it?
Not in life.
It's a word.
Sapphire.
No, well done, but no. Good effort.
That's a whole another game. Campfire.
Well, that, no, but...
Campfire is an actual word.
Yes, but this is...
All right, it's a name.
Oh, my days.
That doesn't help.
It's a surname. But not like a... It's definitely not a traditional surname. Never heard of it in my life until this movie.
Have I seen this movie?
Yes.
Everyone has
Have
seen
I heard of it? Have yeah. I heard of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
It'll be annoying when
everybody
you get it.
In this whole wide world has seen.
Can I have another clue or phone a friend or something?
Phone a friend. phone a friend. We need to give Jay some points, you know.
I'm doing bad, isn't it?
No.
Hard topic.
No.
I feel like I've just give you a proper clue because Robin Williams.
Oh, Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's correct.
Wait, where's the help?
What?
He came to help.
Oh, yeah.
He came in as
a maid of sorts, yeah. Right?
A nanny.
Oh, yeah.
Help. Hired help.
Yeah, no, you're right. I am. I didn't think of I am. It. Of course you're right. It's your game.
Best game ever, mm-hmm. And I'm right. So the
final one, that was good.
The final one, there's still more, and to be fair, it's really annoying, but the final one, first clue, you're going to get this.
The help.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hey!
Congrats. Well done.
Ended on a high.
You definitely ended on a high. That gives you...
Quick maths.
9 points.
Oh, wow. You've all well done.
Oh, fair play.
Drawn with Zachary Momo, Rachel Delahaye, and Teresa Coco.
Well done.
Oh, wait. Nice. Was it Destiny that got 9 points?
Maybe Destiny.
I think it was Destiny.
No, Destiny got 11.
Destiny. All right, cool.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, man. Aquia gave you really hard ones. Like,
I did not skip
projects that no one had heard of.
I mean, that's
I'm on a par with some serious writers there, so I'm happy. They should know their stuff.
To be fair, it's not my fault if you guys don't watch things.
You haven't even seen it.
Because, I mean...
That first one, no. Oh,
Devious Maze, it was like, Google it, you're going to see all the news and the press about it. It's very popular. It's very, very popular. Okay, so we've got our final thing that we've got to do like in 4 seconds. It's called The Process. And basically, we get everyone that comes... to our circle to tell a story, to continue a story that's already been started. This story has been on a bit of a journey. I don't even know if we've got time to give you the backstory, but we shall try.
Yeah.
Or should we just do it from Zachary's bit? I think I can summarize.
Right, go on then.
Okay, so basically the story is, right, and you've got to continue it and leave off wherever you want to leave off. The gods in the world are mad up in the gods land. So you've got the African gods, you've got the Greek gods, you've got the Haitian gods, you've got every single god, probably Nordic gods too. All the gods are vexed and with how Earth is being run because the humans are stupid. So basically, they've decided to come down to Earth and sort everybody out. But they've all got their own separate missions and they're supposed to work together. But everyone's like, no, I'm going to do it. So we've got this god called Shango, who's a Nigerian god of destruction.
Sure.
Fine. He's our
antagonist for sure.
Basically. And so there's this sculptor called Tosin, yeah? Mm-hmm. She has got like a studio and she's got all these sculptures and the gods somehow managed to enter the world through them. Now, Shango escapes and ends up being a producer on 90 Day Fiancé simply because as he escaped, no, that's it. He doesn't escape. This is long and wrong. Basically,
but it's strong.
Tosin's brother is a contestant on 90 Day Fiancé. And as a result, as they're filming and, you know, his life in reality and stuff like that, they go to her studio and one of the producers gets a bit light-fingered, takes one of the statues. That happens to be Shango in statue. He breaks out of his statue into the producer's home, commands the producer's wife and sends the producer to his cupboard or whatever, and then becomes the director of 90 Day Fiancé. That's happening there. So he's tempted by the sins of the flesh of the people. And then... As a side note, we've got Angel Gabriel, who was frozen in ice by...
That one, I don't know.
Shango, I think, or somebody froze him in ice in heaven, and now he's broken out, and he's been sent on a mission to... What? Why? I forgot everything.
I think his whole thing is to kind of get back to where the gods are.
Right.
So he's been on Earth for a really long time, and he wants to get back to where the gods are. And he ends up in a strip club.
Yeah.
And as he goes into the strip club, he begins to lose the power in his wings.
Right.
He doesn't actually notice this at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Then he is, I guess, enamored with a particular stripper who takes him to a back room where there is another stripper called Red Label.
Red Label.
Or was it Magnum Red Wine? I can't remember.
No, that was the other one. Red Label is the one that seduces him.
Right. Red Label seduces him to a point of him losing all of his wings. And then she grows wings in return. So now she has these newfound powers. So she leaves the strip club and she exercises his powers on a guy who tries to attack her, and she kind of sucks the life out of him. She's like, oh, I can get used to this.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up going home. She goes home, and all of a sudden, certain weird things are happening. She lives with a group of cats.
A group of cats, like they're a crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her cats, because she's a cat lady, basically.
So, solid crew. And they end up forming behind her into a person.
Oi.
Shongo.
Oh. So,
yeah, yes.
Yeah, you remember that part? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Ah, yeah, that is true.
Come on
that
now.
Is true.
Come
you.
On now.
Thank you. Yeah.
Shango.
Oh, she said Shango.
Shango.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay.
So these cats, attack her, mauling her to death. And the only power she's got is to bring herself to life. So the cats form to become Shongo, but she uses the last bit of her power to bring herself to life. But she's now normal, and Shongo is Shongo. And this is where we've left it. Shongo at kind of like a, not necessarily a face off, but
let me just read the last sentence that Zachary gave. This being from fetal position is just black, starts to morph into a standing position. She's cowering, and then this being stands up straight, 7 foot, black, and he turns over his left shoulder and says, I am Shongo Shango.
that last word wasn't true. His name is Shongo. Shongo Shango.
I like Shongo Shango.
Right, so Jade, pick up from this.
Oh,
wonderful...
my days.
Thanks.
So.
Okay.
Shongo Shango.
Okay.
Naked, literally, as the day he was born. Today. Opens the door onto the street. The sun is blazing hot. He walks down the middle of the road, soaking in this his newfound form as cars drive into him and through him.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if no one can see him. No one seems bothered. He laughs and laughs and goes in search of food. Is that enough?
Is that it? Okay, fine. Fine. It'll make us easy to recap with the next guest.
I bet some people have written like whole novels.
No, literally, we have had scenes. This is an epic film series.
Yes.
Adapted book play.
/web series from TV show.
/web series.
Slash
children's book?
Yeah, children's book for sure.
Did he say he's looking for food?
Yeah, he's looking for food.
Yeah, he's gone in search of food.
Jade, thank you.
Do you know what's so funny?
Well, go on.
Everybody always like says their story with this real like deep, dark voice, like, yeah. And then. It's so funny.
Very dramatic in telling this story.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I appreciate that.
It's very
nice one, guys.
And I'm so glad to have spoken to you because I feel like it's long overdue.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's nice to chat to you both.
Yeah. And for thank real. You so much.
Go Where on. Can we find you?
At Jade Anuka.
That's it.
All platforms.
Are you on all platforms?
Well, I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the main ones, really.
And on YouTube as well.
You're not on MySpace.
I used to be. I don't know what my name is. Is that still live? Like, if I could find out what my username was, you would hear some things.
Wow. Yes, well, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jade,
for being on the show. We appreciate you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.